and you're listening to 99.5 FM WBAI New York. It's 7 p.m., time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, Billy Bond, for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood. Bond, Billy Bond.
Good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Off the Hook. I'm Red Hack, back from a long hiatus, and tonight I'm joined with Mike.
Hi there.
Lynn.
Hello.
Arseny.
Hello.
Redbird.
Good evening.
Not Kevin.
Hello.
And Jim.
Hello.
Don't forget Bernie S. down there in Philadelphia.
And Bernie S. down in Philadelphia.
Greetings from Philadelphia.
All right. So
we also have on the phone momentarily, we're going to call Emmanuel. And to do that, first we get the trusty dial tone, and then you people don't get to hear the number.
So this means he's away from us.
It's true.
Far away?
We'll soon find out.
Your call is being connected. Please wait.
Okay. We'll have to wait for our call to be connected, as the voice tells us.
What kind of accent was that?
I don't really know.
A faraway one.
That's ringing. It's promising.
Yeah, this ringer.
Hello?
Yeah. Operator, have you?
Yes, could I have 808, please?
Okay, just a moment.
Hello?
Hello, have we reached Emmanuel Goldstein?
Yes, you have. Actually, I've been monitoring your progress. And you did quite well,
maneuvering
through the phone system to get to me.
We have many talents here in New York.
You do.
Where have we called,
have
though?
Have you told people where I am?
No, we just heard some strange voice ask us something, mm-hmm. which turned out to accept an English room number. But other than that, I don't know where I've called.
It took a few days, but actually we had to kind of get them to learn to do that because... people have been calling here and just not being transferred anywhere after asking for the room number. But I'm over here in Beijing, China, which I've been to before, and I'm over here on kind of a fact-finding mission, so to say, and having an interesting time, just sort of wandering around, taking in some sights, talking to some people, things like that.
Have you found any facts that you want to share with our listeners?
Well, I mean, I've been going through the newspapers here, and it's just a never-ending stream of stories about interesting things going on. I can share a couple of them with you. Let me just officially say hello to everybody, though. Who do we have with us today?
Well, we already went through the whole list, but...
Oh, I'm sorry. Then I won't waste time with that again.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of us here.
It's the usual crew, Red Hack and Lynn.
Okay. That's good. So it's morning time here. It's actually 7 in the morning. We're 12 hours ahead of you. It's also Thursday. It's raining here in Beijing. It's such a fun place to be because there's always something happening, and they're constantly just building things here, which is both good and bad, in preparation for the 2008 Olympics. And you just get a sense that you're in a land of really, really fast and rapid change, and nowhere is that more apparent than, of course, on the rail system. In fact, I just found a story in the local paper about this, that trains here are getting ready yet again to crank up their speed. You know, this is something that might be a bit alien to us in the United States, but what happens occasionally in other countries is that their trains are somehow taught to go faster than they were going before. And what that means is that people are able to get from point A to point B and even to point C faster than they were before, less time, more time to spend at the destinations. What do you think about that?
I don't understand, because here in the United States, we have marketing that tells us trains are getting faster, but we don't actually have trains that get faster. Is it the same way over there? Or do they actually
I think we have trains that go slower in the United States, if that's my understanding, because they built the track wrong, or they built the train so that they're too wide for the track and they hit each other on the way, so they have to go slower.
I wasn't even aware we had trains worth taking.
No, that's the other thing. There aren't very many. They keep adding links here. For instance, last time I was here, I took a train from Beijing to Shanghai, and the schedule was wrong because the schedule hadn't been updated to indicate that it was now 2 hours faster. And that's not good enough. They're adding capacity to make it go faster still. Now, the maglev train down in Shanghai, the one that goes from one of the suburbs to the airport, goes at some incredible speed that you just would never be able to imagine. Compare this thing to the air train that we have. It's absolutely pathetic what we have back in the States. The maglev train just goes hundreds and hundreds of kilometers an hour, and you're there. Imagine being able to get from downtown Manhattan to JFK Airport in, say, 4 minutes. That's pretty much the speed we're talking about.
Have you been on that train, the maglev?
I've been on that train. I was there in 2005. I was on that train. It was quite an experience. Very smooth. Also a bit scary because you see how fast you're actually going.
Also in France, I hear they just set a new record.
It is a record. However, the French almost beat that record with a regular non-maglev train a week or so ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Which also is incredible. Sorry?
I'm just saying that the French people, they just set a new record for regular trains.
Yes, it almost matched the maglev train, which is supposed to be much faster than a regular track-based train. So everybody seems to be doing it. The French, the Germans, well, not the Brits, but the Japanese, the Chinese. It just would be so nice if maybe the next country that we decide to invade, you know, maybe we'll just think about a rail system instead. But I don't want to get political here. Speaking of the maglev train, what they're doing down there is they're adding to it. They're extending it because they're going to be having the World Expo 2010. Did you know they still had World Expos?
They do.
Yeah, 2010. The World Expo will be in Shanghai, and the maglev train will be extended for that. Now it currently floats for 30 kilometers on a magnetic cushion between suburban Shanghai and the international airport. And it's going to be extended to wherever the site of the World Expo 2010 is. So they're just going to do that. And then, as I mentioned before, they just make other trains faster. Next week, trains are going to crank up their speed, and they're requesting all local railway bureaus inspect tracks, take all necessary precautionary measures to accommodate the speed boost, which comes into effect next Wednesday. And from then on, most trains will be allowed to travel faster with those on trunk lines, boosting their top speeds by 25% to 200 kilometers per hour. Lines that carry trains traveling at 160 kilometers per hour or faster, protective nets will be erected on both sides to prevent animals or people from stumbling onto the tracks. Now, according to railway experts, trains running at 200 kilometers per hour or above, you may not know this, also produce powerful following winds, which are capable of knocking people off their feet. The nets will therefore ensure bystanders are not sucked beneath the wheels of passing trains. And I just think that's a very considerate measure, something they didn't have to do, but they did it anyway.
It's kind of charming, you know.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that's a big story here, a lot of things the United States are doing is making the news here. For instance, there is this whole big thing, I don't know if it made the news back there, about the United States criticizing China for piracy.
Yes. It's made
The story... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's made the front page of the Times Business section for a number of days.
Well, the front page of the newspaper here, the headline was as follows, U.S. criticized for WTO complaints over piracy. So the story basically got turned 180 degrees around, and the U.S. is the bad guy here for bringing this to the WTO. I'll just read a little bit of this story. The U.S. move to refer China to the World Trade Organization over intellectual property rights will hurt bilateral trade relations, according to the Ministry of Commerce. Washington filed two complaints on Monday at the WTO over copyright piracy and restrictions on the sale of American movies, music, and books, saying inadequate protection of U.S. intellectual property rights in China costs its firms billions of dollars a year. It's the third time the United States has taken China to the global trade body within a year, after cases against Beijing's regulations on imports of auto spare parts, industrial subsidies. And they say such a move will seriously damage cooperation relations in this sector and will have a negative impact on bilateral trade. So there's been a whole lot of criticism about that. Today in the newspaper was a story, I think, designed to sort of show that China is taking this seriously. Movie industry counts cost of online piracy, and basically... they say here Chinese filmmakers themselves are the biggest sufferers of copyright infringement, and they go into detail about how China has been putting in a lot of effort to prevent piracy. So I see that story as kind of a reaction against what the United States has done. So there's a bit of resentment. In fact, if you watch the news here, you'll see all sorts of stories about various things that the U.S. has done that kind of annoy the people here. For instance, last year, the U.S. was sending boats into Chinese water to search for things like fish or oil, and the Chinese got very upset at that. You might not hear stories like that back in the States, but they're talking about them all the time here. And then the other thing, which I thought was really very interesting, there's a controversy concerning fast food. Now, if you walk around the streets of Beijing here, you'll see... I'd like for you guys to try and guess what the most popular American fast food outlet is here in the streets of Beijing.
Yeah.
Anybody want to guess?
KFC.
Yum yum.
McDonald's. How do you know that, Jim?
What is my nickname? What is my full nickname?
Well, you're Jeopardy Jim. I realize that, but that's not the kind of question they ask on Jeopardy.
Sure it is. You don't watch
all
it
right.
enough.
Now, is it actually Kentucky Fried Chicken? Is that what it stands for over there, or did they
come
up
yes,
with some
it is.
New?
Oh,
really?
I mean, I don't know if they know that, but but that's what it is. Okay, so you have a lot of American fast food places. There are McDonald's, although not that many of them. And KFC, I think, is just about everywhere. So the story that has been circulating is that these American companies are not paying their employees fair wages. And it's incredible
no.
because it's a real scandal. But, I mean, they already have that reputation back in the States. But here they are in China. With that reputation of not paying their workers enough, and it's really causing people a lot of aggravation. Here are a couple of letters from the newspaper. This person, known as We, writes, "This isn't so unexpected. I'm just surprised these people just found out now. How long has McDonald's and KFC been in China? Big American corporations use Asians as cheap labor. It costs about 5 pennies to make a shoe by using child labor in Southeast Asia, but they charge $100 per pair of shoes to consumers. Where does the money go? To superstar athletes, advertisements, and rich CEOs." And then this other letter from today's paper, "Allegedly not breaking any laws by classifying workers as part-time is just a cheap trick. I'm amazed that people patronize KFC and McDonald's as their products are relatively expensive by local Chinese standards and also extremely full of hard-clogging, saturated fats that can lead to premature death. Protect your children from junk food like this." I just think that is awesome to see in a Chinese
Daniel,
newspaper.
Where did
here.
You read this?
I'm sorry?
Where did you read this?
This is in the China Daily English language newspaper, which is just chock full of all sorts of interesting stories.
The Wall Street Journal actually has an article about the same thing, and they implicate a Chinese company.
They implicate a Chinese company?
I think
well,
so.
I'll have to tell the people here about that.
I didn't
that.
Read it
what
in detail, but the company is called Yum Yum.
Really? Hey, they're implicating you guys. Yeah, I'll tell you later. Wow, that's oh, they're going to be mad about this.
Is the newspaper
the Chinese? Huh?
Sorry, Emmanuel. Was the newspaper a translation of these letters that were sent by people in China and then translated for the China Daily? Or
well, I'm not reading Chinese. I am
right.
reading English. So at some point, they were translated from something.
Right.
I don't know if the original writer wrote in English or if they wrote in Chinese or if the same thing is printed in a Chinese newspaper. I would imagine something like that might have happened.
Right.
Emmanuel?
Yes, Bernie.
As you're walking the streets there, as you said, have you found any U.S. Intellectual property, as you're referring to movies, music, and books that were for sale that appeared to be pirated?
Well, I didn't stop to ask, but when you walk down the street in certain places, lots of people chase after you saying, DVDs, DVDs. And, you know, it can get kind of annoying after a while because they're rather aggressive. I would imagine, I didn't stop to see how much they cost or what their offerings were, but I would imagine some of those probably are pirated, but I imagine the same thing of the streets of New York.
I was going to say, you don't have to go all the way to Beijing if you just want to buy a DVD not authorized.
No, probably
by
not.
The
if you want to
creator.
Pirate... Yeah, if you want to pirate videos, I imagine you can probably do it from the comfort of your own home.
It's the subway is even more comfortable than one's own home, and there's always people walking up and down there, so.
Yes. Anything new back home that I might not know about?
Well, the FCC is imposing some rules designed to prevent pretexting, and can you guess who's opposed?
I think I heard about this. The people who shouldn't be opposed are opposed.
That's right. People who...
Well,
that's not much of a guess.
Is.
Pretexting is this word that I never heard of before until a few months ago.
It seems to be used by quote-unquote professionals as a substitute for social engineering. That's the only place that I've heard it. Most people refer to it as social engineering, but I've heard like private investigators and people of that nature refer to it as pretexting.
I don't really hang out with that many professionals, so I guess I haven't
quote-unquote professionals. But yeah.
What it is people call up, say, the phone company, and they make up some story in order to get the records of another customer. And this really became sort of famous in light of the HP scandal. And now Congress is cracking down and with a new set of regulations. The FCC is in on the act, too. And there's sort of two separate stories of people who are opposed to this. One is Verizon. Verizon doesn't want to have to put in the effort to implement the controls that would be required to make sure customer information only goes out to the actual customers, not just people pretending to be them. And the other people opposed are our dear friends, the recording industry and the motion picture industry, who say that the legislation would, quote, gut their ability to investigate privacy. Apparently, what they like to do is call people up and pretend to be interested in buying pirated materials, and they don't want to have to do it under their own names. They don't want to have to tell the truth about just about anything, it seems. So they are very busy. They want to have an exception in the law just for them so that they can call people up and lie. It's kind of interesting.
That's pretty incredible. Not surprising, but still incredible.
So that is that bit of news.
I'm in shock.
It's real. You shouldn't be, though, because they're trying to get exempt from every law except for the ones that they had a hand in writing.
But doesn't something like this just make them look so bad?
I don't know. I mean, they're suing dead people. It's like, how much worse can they look?
Maybe
you want to go into a little more detail on how they're suing dead people?
Yeah, this was a story a couple months ago where they were busy suing someone who I don't think even owned a computer, accusing that person of copying music files. And then the person passed away, and they wrote a letter to the judge saying, Dear Judge, we're going to give the family 60 days to grieve, and then we're going to proceed with the case against the estate of the person. And I think that one, they got enough bad publicity from that they had to sort of quietly drop the case. But their initial instinct was 60 days is enough to grieve.
Wow. There's also a story over here in Beijing about Google getting into trouble again. That's right. By the way, I've had no trouble using Google from here.
And it's censored over there, though, right?
I'm sorry?
It's censored over there, correct?
Well, why don't you give me something to look up, and I'll tell you if it's censored.
Ooh.
I'm on Google right now.
Tiananmen Square.
Well, can you spell that, please?
No.
I still have trouble. Maybe it's something that
I think
can't
we'd also
wrong.
Democracy in China.
Okay.
I think we'd
I'll
also
give you the first
Falun Gong.
I'll give you the first five hits. Is that okay?
Oh, Bernie had a better one. Falun Gong.
Falun Gong should be easy to spell.
Falungong. Two words.
Let me just say, I did look up democracy in China, and the first hit was Support Democracy in China homepage. Then Tiananmen Square is the second one, so that certainly was not blocked.
Can you
of course,
actually?
I haven't gone to those pages yet.
Yeah. Can you actually
reach
them?
Look up?
Falun Gong, F-A-L-U-N space G-O-N-G.
G-O-N-G?
G-O-N-G is the second word.
Bangagong.
Oh, dear. The connection was reset. The connection to the server was reset while the page was loading. Oh, it just instantly did that. I mean, wow, this is incredible.
They're very good at that.
As soon as you hit return on Google, it just zaps out completely. That is interesting.
Of course, for really optimal effect, for optimal effect, you should be doing these searches in Chinese, which is how most people in China would do them.
Hang on, there's somebody at the door.
Well, we'll let you attend to that. Were we able to do the same searches here, or are you still working on that?
Working on it.
All right. Half of our listeners have already done.
It didn't take for them to come to the door like that, did it?
No, that's pretty good.
We should search Amnesty International to see if we contact them after Emmanuel is arrested.
I don't think they're that fast at Amnesty. They're pretty good, but...
The first hit for fun.
So that wasn't the police.
Yeah.
Let's change the subject and talk about something else. Okay, American firm Google is guilty of something bad because they are victimizing Chinese people here. This is the story. Google may soon find itself in a legal soup in China. It's all about food here. Everything is about food. top managers from Sohu.com, S-O-H-U.com, yesterday said the U.S. internet giant's Chinese input method violated its patent rights for which it can be sued. Google did not just steal the product dictionary, it violated the intellectual property rights of the revolutionary inventions used in our input method product, said Charles Zhang, CEO of Sohu.com, which is a NASDAQ-listed Chinese portal. It's a disgrace for a U.S. company which takes pride in its respect for intellectual property rights. We will launch a lawsuit against them any time.
What does that mean, exactly?
It means, watch your ass, Google, we're coming. That's what it means. And there's also this interesting story next to this as well. China yesterday launched a platform with the goal of notching up 1 million Chinese character domain names, a move marking a new era for Chinese web surfers to trek the information highway in their native language. Microsoft announced late last year that its new Internet Explorer 7 browser and Vista individual operating system could support Chinese domain names, which is a crucial technological breakthrough that allows the application, paving the way for the new thrust by the Chinese domain name registrar. Now, announcing the initiative, the China Internet Network Information Center, known as CNNIC, called its final effort to break the language barrier on the English-dominated Internet. I don't know what they called it. I think they just stopped there. But it's a monumental development, I believe.
This is something that kind of comes and goes every couple of years. People try and put characters that are not, you know, A through Z, 0 through 9, in domain names. And one of the problems is that there's a lot of characters that look similar. So there's the Greek alpha, which looks very much like the English letter A. And people make websites that are, you know, say PayPal with an alpha instead of an A, and people get fooled. So they're always wavering back and forth about whether or not this is a good idea.
That's true. There's also a story here about online bullying, which I thought was rather interesting. Video sharing websites like YouTube have a, quote, moral obligation, unquote, to tackle bullies who post clips showing abuse of teachers and pupils. This actually comes from the British government, and it's reported here. Education Secretary Alan Johnson urged site operators to do more to remove videos taken by pupils on mobile phones, which humiliate staff. The online harassment of teachers is causing some to consider leaving the profession because of the defamation and humiliation they are forced to suffer, he said in a speech. These are big companies we are talking about. They have a social responsibility and a moral obligation to act. Interesting. It's just some of the material they're talking about here as well.
Emmanuel?
Yes, Bernie?
The same thing happened this week here in Pennsylvania. I don't have all the details in front of me, but a Pennsylvania high school principal sued 4 students from his high school for posting a fake MySpace profile of the principal. Uh-huh. And the MySpace profile purported to... represent the principal's calling himself someone who had various fantasies about certain students and other things. And so he's hoping to squelch this whole thing by suing the four students. And, of course, now the page, which was taken down, has been copied and is far more famous than it ever would have been if this thin-skinned high school principal hadn't just had a private conference with these students.
He's filing this lawsuit after at least one of the students got a 10-day suspension and then didn't even get to return to class. He got put in some alternative program. So they're really dropping the book on the on these students who made a, you know, stupid MySpace page.
Now, wasn't there something else, though, where a student, I don't know if it's the same story, but posted, I think, comments on a MySpace page that were defamatory towards their principal, but... In court, they ruled that it was actually protected free speech because even though it was full of curse words and slander and all that, it also had comments on the principal's school policy about something or other. And so the court ruled that was actually political speech and not just an attack on the principal.
That was a different case.
Yeah.
It just seems very strange when... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, one lesson to be learned from this is... If you want a lot of publicity for a defamatory web page about yourself, go sue somebody about it, and it will be infinitely more famous than you ever hoped.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, I think there have been cases where people have launched fake lawsuits to get publicity, making it seem as if somebody is outraged by something that maybe they don't even know about in the first place. But it just seems strange to me that. You could be in school someplace, and you're doing something outside of school on a public site, and yet the school somehow feels it can discipline you for speaking out about the school someplace else.
I mean, I read a little bit about this, and I guess that the area where he does seem to have the correct purview is restricting it at school on school computers. I mean, they do have control there, and that makes sense, sorta, in a weird kind of way, but... But to spend 25% of the IT guy's time trying to block MySpace in general, the whole site, seems like a little bit of a misappropriation of funds. And it seems to me that this guy just needs to get a grip and on reality, and that he's a high school principal. He should, you know, act like an adult and not a high school student.
Wait, the IT guy is spending a quarter of his time just trying to block one website? He must not be very good.
Well, yeah, and it said that he was, quote, required to do that by the principal.
Okay.
So,
got a question for you guys. See if you can figure out what this word is. It's a word, actually, that comes from an article in The Guardian over in the UK. But basically, it describes the act of surfing the web without any real purpose. There is a word for that. Do you guys know what it is? Jim, maybe you know?
Nope.
It's the virtual equivalent of window shopping. A lot of Brits seem to be spending a lot of time doing it.
Window surfing?
National pastime, according to a new survey.
Browsing?
Browsing? No, Bernie, come on.
Window surfing?
Too obvious.
Wilfing.
Wilfing?
Wilfing.
Wait, how did you know that?
He's cheating. He has a laptop.
You went on the internet to find the answer, huh?
You obviously read a quote from the article, so it wasn't very difficult, but yes, wilfing.
God, I can't believe this. Oh, yes, anyway, a newly identified habit, more than two-thirds of the 33.7 million internet users in the UK admit to at least the occasional wilf, which it's a term derived from the phrase, what was I looking for? I'm not quite sure. I guess you could sort of spell that.
You're
that
missing
way.
Some, yeah, it's kind of weird. By the way, I ran across an article about censorship with Google.cn, and if you still have access to it, we can do a couple of searches. If you search for Tiananmen and in the Google image search, apparently you will not get any pictures that show tanks.
Well, I'm not gonna do any more of that kind of searching here because I'd like to not be in the street tonight, or somewhere else. But I will say that BBC continues to be blocked here. Any BBC site simply does not go through. It's very easy to get around with the proxy. And also, for some reason, AIM is blocked. You have to go through a proxy to use instant messaging as well. And Wikipedia as well. Again, very easy to get around. But those are that and the whole Falun Gong thing that we just did. That's the extent of the blocking that I found so far.
The Great Firewall.
It's easy enough to get around if you know how to get around it, but I'm sure there's a lot of people who don't.
I've got a story here about a computer hacker in Beijing, which is kind of interesting. A computer hacker has been sentenced to 6 years in prison for breaking into another man's computer in Beijing, stealing his wife's naked photos, and extorting 140,000 yuan, which is about $17,000, from him. Li Zinghua broke into the computer of the man, surnamed Shen, last March. It had stored copies of some of his wife's naked photos. Li then called Shen demanding money and even managed to collect 40,000 yuan for the pictures. However, his games came to an end after Shen lodged a police report.
Well, that's quite the efficient Chinese police that they've got there.
There's something about the tone of some of the stories that are reported here, which is just simply, it's priceless. Here's one about an ATM.
Wait, there's a story about an ATM.
Three men broke into an ATM machine, fell to the ground after receiving an electric shock in Hengku, Hubei, over the weekend. The three, aged between 17 and 20, were found lying in front of the mangled ATM in the city's Jiaotang Dadu Street. Police found many live wires at the scene. The three men were immediately sent to a nearby hospital, where they are believed to be out of danger.
So, are they implying that they're booby trapping the ATMs, or that they're just silly and somehow came across high voltage wiring in the ATM?
They don't go into detail about how that happened exactly. A lot of these stories kind of leave off some vital bits of information, and then you get the occasional really wacky story from left field. Listen to this one. A cat in Nanjing bravely fought off a hungry snake on Sunday and successfully drove it out of the yard she was sharing with her newborn kittens. The cat was sitting next to a paper box containing the litter when she saw a snake trying to approach it. The two animals stood facing off one another for more than 10 minutes before the snake lost patience. It threw itself on the cat and coiled around it, but the cat managed to pin down the snake's head and bite it hard. Unable to endure the pain, the snake fled with the cat in hot pursuit. Now, obviously the story is the cat's perspective, but I'm just wondering how they got the story in the first place. And
I'm thinking the owner or the reporter is standing there watching this. He doesn't really care what happens to the cat, the kittens, or the snake. He's just trying to get a story. Whereas in the U.S., somebody would try to either help the damn cat or call the ASPCA or something. I mean, it shows detachment.
What's interesting here is that the story is reported without any human element whatsoever. It doesn't talk about the owner of the cat watching or comments. It's just cat and snake, and that's it.
Well, maybe they interviewed the cat.
I was going to say, maybe the cat called it in.
Emmanuel?
That's the impression you might get if you didn't know any better. And there's also another story in today's paper about a dog and a snake. Listen to this. A puppy in Taiwan scared away an extremely poisonous king cobra and rescued its owner on Monday. The dog's master, Lin, was on his way to an open field. I don't know why, but people do like to go to open fields, I guess to fly kites. When he heard the pup behind him barking ferociously and stopped for a look, following its gaze, Lin spotted a black king cobra, a meter long, just a few steps from him, poised for attack. The dog kept barking and scared the snake away. Later, the cobra was caught by a professional snake catcher.
Well, I was really, really glad about that dog barking so much, too. It was really a lifesaver.
Hey, Emmanuel.
Yes, Bernie.
This type of journalism reminds me of stories I've read in U.S. newspapers maybe 100 years or so ago, or maybe not so long ago, where this sort of very imaginative, flowery language was used with more than a little creativity to come up with stories that may or may not have been true. And it seems like China is at that stage in its journalism with now that it's semi-free speech compared to maybe a few decades ago. So it's just kind of interesting to see these stages of journalism in different cultures.
Are you doubting the seriousness of the Chinese snake attack problem?
Oh, not at all. I'm sure it's all true.
No, I agree with Bernie. I was saying this is the type of thing that you would get about 10, 20 years before the jumping frog of Calaveras County. So in 10 or 20 years, we'll have a Mark Twain developing there.
Or maybe in 10 to 20 years, we'll be reporting on the snakes attacking our cats, and we'll know the facts about that.
Okay.
Anything's possible. Did you hear about this story? Some students in McLean, Virginia are suing the California company Turnitin.
No.
I did hear about this, and I do have a number of friends who are required to use this service for submitting papers.
Apparently they have their papers. They get submitted to this service, which checks their papers to make sure it's not copied from the internet. Apparently,
It's from the internet and from other papers. So they keep this enormous archive of submitted papers and basically do quick comparisons upon submission, and the teacher gets to see that, and you get rated as to how pirated your paper is.
They've had systems like this for code for a while too. I know that it's often been threatened. They might use this system in some of my courses.
What's interesting is that, or what's the basis for the lawsuit, is that Turnitin is a commercial company, of course, and they're keeping copies of all these students' papers without the students' permission. So they're being sued under copyright law, saying, you know, the student wrote this paper. You can't just keep a copy of it and use it for commercial purposes. So it's kind of an interesting lawsuit.
And it's not very smart or accurate either. I've seen papers get, you know, a 70 or 80% piracy rating. Not piracy, but anyway.
Plagiarism
rating. Just because they quoted portions of books and other, like, famous works. Like, for instance, if you quoted a portion of the Declaration of Independence or something like that, that would increase your rating. So it looks as though, you know, they aren't legitimate papers when they actually are.
Our friend Stuart from Japan writes in with an interesting story about CCTV cameras in England, which is always an interesting subject, something we've talked about many times here on this program. But this is bizarre. A previously localized trial of CCTV cameras, which basically is closed-circuit cameras that show who's walking down what street when, it allows local government officials to monitor people on the streets and shout orders at anyone they deem to be acting in an antisocial manner. In other words, if you're littering, acting in an aggressive manner, loitering, the camera will speak to you. Well, the camera won't speak to you, but a voice will. But here, in a bizarre psychological move, the cameras will speak in a child's voice. What do you think about that?
How do they do that? Do they, like, kidnap children and make them say, don't litter?
Or maybe just a certain amount of set commands that they pre-record or something.
Or a voice changer.
Is there a voice changer that makes your voice sound like a child?
You can easily make one, but it sounds silly. What's the effect of this? Does it have some different psychological effect on the person?
Helium balloons.
So I guess the theory is that people won't do bad things if they're scolded by a child.
Emmanuel.
Yes.
This could really backfire if the crime was. A pedophile or someone flashing themselves, and then the child's voice scolded them. It may exacerbate the situation.
Yeah, no limit to the what you can imagine here, I suppose.
You know, they did something similar to this when they first opened the Atlanta airport and had the train between the terminals. They originally had kind of a very soft-spoken woman's voice on there saying, you know, step away from the doors and step to the center of the train, the doors are closing, things like that. And people kind of ignored it, and they had to change it to a more stern, computerized voice. And then people started not stepping into the doors that were closing on them.
Well, they do that in New York, too. I mean, whenever it's a command, it's always a male voice on the subways, and whenever it's, you know, just talking about what station you're at, it's usually a female voice.
That's true, and you can experiment with this by holding the doors or holding it for your friends or causing mayhem of some sort, and then when the train moves, the conductor will hit the button to play the scolding message that will say, "Ladies and gentlemen, please, for your safety, do not block the door." And sometimes the guy just goes through a whole list of different scolding announcements, and it's always, you're right, a male voice doing that.
I like it when the train conductor just yells at you over the speaker system, because they're always funny.
The old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
You know, I have.
Oh, you guys got anything else?
I just want to say I have to give credit to a city that I normally don't give credit to, which is Washington, D.C. And I had to go there over the past week. And you know what they have? They have the Metro, which is more or less like the subway. It just goes right to the airport. You don't have to really go outside or anything. It's amazing. They don't have that in a lot of cities in this country. Mm-hmm. So, props to them for being one of the few to get it right.
Yeah, now they just need to get it to go to the Dulles Airport.
Well, that's, I don't really want to talk about that.
Or just to get it to stay open late at night would be nice.
You can't have everything. You can either have a subway system that works or doesn't. I don't know.
They have an interesting metro system here in Beijing. It's very small. They have lines 1, lines 2, and line 13. I'm not sure where all the other lines are. That's the only ones that are listed, 1, 2, and 13. And basically one line goes in a circle. Another line kind of goes from, I think, east to west. And it would be great. The city would be amazing if the metro was in more places. It's very crowded at all hours of the day and night, and people have this this tendency of pushing to get onto the train before people get off. No matter what you say about rudeness of New Yorkers, it is nothing compared to what you see here and in places like Shanghai. There are no thank yous, there are no pleases, there's a lot of pushing and shoving. But the interesting thing about that is it's very, very rare to see anybody getting angry, too. So I'm not quite sure what the relationship is. But a lot of people, I mean, basically, I was walking down the street, and one of those DVD salesmen who had wanted me to get a DVD slaps me on the side of the arm and says, "Hey, DVD, can you imagine someone walking down the streets of New York and a salesperson whacking them on the arm to see if they were interested in buying their wares?"
Seems like the salesman would get whacked in return.
You know what also seems interesting?
But that doesn't happen here. Everybody just sort of goes on their way and shoves the next person.
You mentioned a line 13, 1, 2, what did you say, 1, 2, 3, and 13? That probably wouldn't exist in this country because of, you know,
That's true, too, but there is no 3. There's only a 1, a 2, and a 13.
1, 2, and 13, right. Well, we don't have 13th floors here and stuff like that, right? So,
well, the Hotel Pennsylvania has a 13th floor.
Well, they don't count.
The rumor is the Hotel Pennsylvania has a 13th floor, and the right-wing fundamentalists are, in fact, behind the move to tear it down. Did you know that?
You're making this up, but it's mildly convincing.
Well, yeah, but I think it might be able to help save the hotel.
What kind of
fare instruments are used? The fare instruments in Beijing on the subway system, what kind of fare instruments do they use?
It's interesting. They have two systems. They have an RFID-type system, which I have yet to find anybody who can explain it to me. I have seen some people walking by and flashing cards and something beeps. But the system most people use is simply walking up to the ticket counter, paying 3 won to the person behind the desk, which is equivalent to under 50 cents. She gives you a little piece of paper, and then you walk a few feet behind you, and there's somebody else who takes the piece of paper from you, and they rip it in half and give you half of it. I'm not sure what that's for. And that's really the system. That's the old system. So Beijing is kind of at a crossroads of doing old things and moving into new things. You see people riding bicycles with such massive amounts of stuff on them that you wonder how they keep their balance. Same thing with trucks. And then you see really modern-looking vehicles and buildings that just are incredibly modern-looking. So every time you come here, if I was to leave and come back in a few weeks, it would look different. That's how quickly the city is changing. And that's bad in some ways because there are some very old streets here that are being destroyed. In fact, I was able to see one of them. And it's just incredible, the history. It goes back to, I believe, the Ming Dynasty. The streets, I believe, are called the Hutong. And you simply walk down these narrow corridors. You see these little one, maybe two-story buildings. And all these people who are very, I don't know how to describe it, but they're not trying to bother you in any way. They're just living their lives. And if somebody walks up to you and says hello there, it's not with the intent of trying to sell you something. It's because they really are interested in saying hello to you. And that's where you see the real China, I think. And unfortunately, a lot of that is falling victim to the wrecking ball so that new apartment buildings, new office blocks can be built. And it's very sad.
Well, shall we take some phone calls?
Yes, why not?
The number, of course, is 212-209-2900. But Lynn is waving. We'll give the people a moment to call in.
Hi, Lynn.
Well, he can't hear you. He doesn't have headphones on.
Yeah, sorry. Well, while we wait, I got a question for you, Emmanuel. Have you turned off any TVs?
I'm sorry, I can't hear what he said.
Have you turned off any TVs?
Oh, have I turned off any TVs? No, I did not bring my TV big on. I'll tell you why. Last time I brought my TV big on to Austin, well, apart from leaving it in Austin, I had some difficulty because it kept turning itself on. And normally I can get through most situations on airplanes, but when you suddenly have a flashing red device in your bag or on your person, it sort of attracts concern. And I didn't really want to attract concern on a 13-and-a-half-hour flight to Beijing, which, by the way, was the longest flight I've ever taken in my life. And I'm amazed I made it through without going completely stir-crazy.
Non-stop from New York?
Non-stop from New York, yeah. It was something.
I didn't even know
I don't recommend
that.
It.
All right. Well, the phones are all lit, and unless Lynn has figured out that his waving means something, we're just going to take some.
The phone be gone?
Maybe, if I can operate the thing. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. Hello to Beijing. Emmanuel, you know, you travel all over the world and so on, and I don't know if all the chaps in the studio at 120 Wall Street are aware, but my freedom of speech has been pretty badly tortured at WBAI. And
this guy has a Falun Gong button.
But listen, I do think that it behooves you to be concerned about this. I mean, you even this Don Imus thing is a terrible, you know, desecration of freedom of speech because...
All right, well, we're going to have to leave the
Why did it take so long, Mike?
I don't know. These buttons are hard to press.
Where are your rebel instincts?
They're broken. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. Welcome to the People's Republic of China.
Thank you.
Yes, welcome to the People's Republic of China. What are your
thank
thoughts
you
on the political situation in the People's Republic?
Of China?
Apparently so, yeah.
I'm sorry, apparently so what?
I don't know. We seem to have lost him, but...
Well, you confused me by saying apparently so. I thought he was asking me what my opinion was of the political scene in China.
Yeah, that's what he was asking. What is your opinion?
Okay, well, you know, it's interesting place in many ways. I've written a bunch of things about this. Basically, if I had to sum it up in a sentence, I'd say that, you know, I'm in the biggest communist country in the world right now, and people seem to be thriving as far as material goods. There's a lot of things in the stores. There's malls everywhere you look. And last time I was here, people didn't seem as fashion conscious as they are now. I see a lot of more expensive clothing. I see a lot of varied hairstyles. So people are being a lot more individualistic, at least as far as that particular method goes. But you know what? It doesn't seem, at least not from what I've experienced talking to some people and walking around and reading things, it doesn't seem like democracy is high on the list. It doesn't seem like that's something that people are clamoring for so much. They want their material goods. They want their, you know, their TV channels, and they want their air conditioning and sports drinks and whatever else happens to be in vogue these days. And in a way, there's a parallel to the States there because we all know we have to change things. We all know things are kind of messed up in various ways. But as long as the SUVs keep running and the Diet Coke keeps pouring, we don't really care. You know, it's keep the masses happy, and the governments won't have to worry. How's that?
Well then, so there's some parallels.
Well, at the door again.
All right, 212-209-2900 is our phone number. Tell us what's on your mind, and hello. Tell us what's on your mind.
Yeah, Emmanuel.
Hello.
Yes, Emmanuel. Who was that on the door?
It's just a friendly person, that's all.
I'm just curious.
You're a friendly person, right? Yeah, he's a friendly person.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for the call. And let's talk to this one. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Am I on the air?
You are on the air.
Yeah. Could you turn down your radio?
I think I've been listening.
Yes, it's confusing me here in China.
The people in China, as common, I mean the common people, they feel that their communist government is very selfish and very... I understood what that man meant by People's Republic of China. All the CEOs and businesses in around the world, they're the ones that are in charge. It has nothing to do with the whole country of China. Do you follow? Hello?
Well, they're all playing the same game. Yes, I see what you're saying.
And also, what did you think of that CEO from Canada who divested himself of his stock before it went public that they were using the so-called pesticides from where? China. So that all the pets were taken, good companies like Purina and Iams. People's dogs are being poisoned. Hello?
Hello. I'm not really familiar with that
on your side?
CEO.
Yes. So what I'm thinking is, you know there's going to be a Pacifica meeting in D.C., but they haven't told us where. And I just wish some people from all the good programs, such as yours, would have a representative attend, because a lot of us can't afford that. And just to find out what's happening with the Pacifica panel when they have it. That's my suggestion.
Well, if we hear something, we'll certainly pass it on. The question is, the biggest problem is always getting information out and having meetings that don't turn into circuses, and that's always been an issue. But if there's something urgent going on, we certainly will pass that on.
That always
we'll try
is,
to anyway.
But that would be important for us to stay in touch with. And Verizon, that story you did today, very important. The cell phone companies, you know?
Well, thanks for the call. We're going to try this one now. Hello? You're on the air.
Hey, what's up? A week or so ago, someone asked about a good text messaging program. GoText is a good one. If you type in GoText in download.com, it's a simple, nice program. Hello?
Hello.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks for the suggestion.
One more thing.
Speaking of telephones, I just want to point out that over here, both my GSM and my CDMA phone works. Thing is, though, I can't figure out how to use my CDMA phone to call back to the United States. For instance, GSM phone is easy because you usually hit the star button twice, or you hold it down and you get a plus sign. But the CDMA phone doesn't have a plus sign, and I'm not quite sure if I just dial 1 plus a number, it's going to know that's a country code.
All right. You had something else, caller?
Yes. Check out TalkE.com, TalkE.com. You should find that interesting. It's a list of free chat line numbers within the U.S. Maybe you can have some fun with that.
All right. We'll investigate that. So you haven't been able to make a call.
Well, I haven't really been trying to make a call, to be honest. And in fact, I'm avoiding phones and text messaging as much as possible, only because of the expense. I'm lucky to have internet connectivity where I am, so I'm able to communicate freely that way. But I'd still like to know how it works exactly. I'd like to know what's possible and what isn't. And I just haven't figured out yet how to do the CDMA outbound call. I'm sure it's a very simple thing. Just don't want to pay a huge amount of money trying to figure it out.
What service are you getting over there on your CDMA phone? Like, what's the service provider? Do you know?
Well, they don't identify like they do on GSM phones. I just have a little triangle that tells me I'm roaming. I better be careful if I pick up.
And the CDMA?
I imagine it's some kind of Chinese company. I'm sure, you know, to make you happy, I can make a phone call and see what the bill shows up later if you want.
The CDMA phone that you're using is a Verizon phone, right?
It's a Verizon phone, CDMA, yeah, but I doubt Verizon. Verizon could be here for
one of us could try to call you and see if it actually gets through.
I did try to call you.
Well, people have
earlier.
Called me on that, so I guess I would pay for that, right?
You always pay, basically, is the way it works with roaming.
I did try to give you a call earlier on what I think was that phone, and it went straight to voicemail one time and just clicked and hung up on me the other times.
Well, Mike, I can authorize you, Mike, to at the end. Oh, well, it's like Red Hat is calling right now on my phone. I have to find the phone, though.
Emmanuel, according to the Verizon,
hang on, I gotta find this.
According to the Verizon webpage, the voice calls are $1.29 per minute when you're roaming in China.
You don't have to answer. I'm gonna hang up now. But it works. Interesting.
All right.
Did you hear?
And I had a Chinese ringtone when
okay,
I called.
Okay, you outsmarted me there. because the phone was charging in another part of the room, and I couldn't get to it in time. Can you try that one more time?
Do you really want me to call you?
I mean, okay. Yeah, call again.
It's interesting because
there'll be a bill, and then in a month or so, we can tell people who it's from.
Emmanuel, it's $1.29 per minute.
And
okay,
I'm getting.
Well, you know, I'll pay the $1.29. I'll cough that up.
I'm actually hearing a.
Okay, I picked up the phone now.
And I'm talking to you on it.
And I'm talking to you on it.
That's pretty fast, actually.
Okay, now I'm hanging up the phone because this is silly.
It was interesting. When I was calling you, I actually got the foreign ringtone or the foreign ringing sound when I called you.
Well, he's foreign, you know.
Yeah, as if I was calling another country rather than calling, you know, within the United States.
Well, that certainly happens on a GSM phone. That's how you can tell where people are when they're traveling with their GSM phones. But now we know it works with CDMA as well.
Yeah, interesting.
Well, we're running out of time. Shall we take one more phone call?
Sure.
All right, let's try number 9. Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, how you doing?
How are you?
WBAI?
Yes, you're on the air. We have just a short amount of time left.
Oh, okay. You said China, is that all communist or just mainland?
Well, Taiwan is the rogue province that's not.
Right.
And Hong Kong, of course, is kind of still very capitalistic as well. But I mean, the whole country is very capitalistic at this point.
Right, because I know we import a lot of goods from Taiwan. I don't think that's communist.
No, Taiwan
is
Republic of China.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a whole big history there. We don't really need to get into here.
Yeah, well, I'm not too savvy on that, but thank you.
All right, well, thank you.
Emmanuel is calling from the heart of Red China.
Yeah, I guess you
that's what you
that.
Want to call it.
All that's right. What I want to call it.
We're about out of time, but we'll hear from you next week, I hope.
Yes, it's been fun. I look forward to being back in New York at some point, and this has been a nice way to start the day here.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Do you remember the riots in Gothenburg in the summer of 2001? Boy, we sure had fun down the avenue. The black crew are throwing rocks at the cops, and everything stopped. They started a bonfire a couple of days prior. I wanted to do that too. Burn down the avenue, and I saw my face on a screen. They filmed us from a helicopter, the most frightened face I've seen. Red in the face like a lobster, and your hand slipped out of mine. I couldn't see no love in your eye, and I knew what I had to do. Burn the avenue. I'm not a political fighter, and I don't even have a cigarette lighter, but I wanna see that fire. I just wanna see that fire. I just wanted to see that fire. Burn down the avenue. Do you remember the riots in Gothenburg in the summer of 2001? Boy, we sure had fun.
All right.